the Public News Service Daily Newscast, June the 2nd, 2025. I'm Mike Clifford. Multiple people were injured, possibly by being set on fire, during an incident Sunday afternoon on Boulder's Pearl Street Mall that the FBI characterized as a targeted terror attack. That for the Denver Post. They report several people were injured in the attack, which occurred near the Boulder County Historic Courthouse at Pearl and 13th Streets. A suspect is reported to be in custody. Meantime, a possible partnership between U.S. Steel and Japan's Nippon Steel is drawing publicity, but some environmental groups in Pennsylvania are raising concerns.
President Trump visited U.S. Steel's Mon Valley Works Irwin plant on Friday, telling steel workers a partnership would add $14 billion to the U.S. economy and create 70,000 jobs. Trump also said he would raise steel import tariffs to 50% alongside the deal. Matthew Mihalik of the Brief Project says the rally follows a familiar pattern where Trump makes flashy promises that are often pulled back. He adds there is uncertainty as to how the partnership would help workers in the Mon Valley.
Still left unanswered is what's being proposed for a $2.1 billion investment in the Mon Valley. We think it might be a new hot strip mill at the Irwin Works, but what does that mean for the Coke Works or the Edgar Thompson blast furnaces? New mills employ fewer people? That's completely unaddressed.
Mihalik refers to investments in the Mon Valley that were promised by Nippon last year. He says those investments failed to promote the decarbonization of steel, which he claims is necessary for the steel industry in the long term. I'm Danielle Smith.
And Pride Month is here, and new research finds most consumers stand behind brands that show their support for the LGBTQ community, which represents about 6% of folks in Nevada.
The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation conducted a survey finding the purchasing patterns of 70% of Americans are either positively affected or unaffected by Pride merchandise. Megan Bartley, who works with a nonprofit, explains companies have engaged in Pride Month marketing campaigns for years. But in 2023, Bud Light faced backlash from conservatives after transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney promoted the brand. Target has also experienced backlash for selling Pride merchandise at its stores. Bartley says most consumers support Pride despite those complaints, and that companies supporting Pride should continue feeling confident in their values.
We want to make sure that all of those brand leaders know that consumers stand behind those choices. Our data is finding that LGBTQ inclusion is part of that number, and we don't want anyone to get lost in the narratives that are being pushed forward that somehow Pride and LGBTQ inclusion isn't good for business.
I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
This is Public News Service. A new tool that aims to help communities advocate for stronger air quality protections goes live today.
The organization Clean Air NC has launched the AirKeeper dashboard to provide real-time and historic air quality data in North Carolina. It maps pollution and small particle matter such as PM2.5 that can be dangerous to people's health. Community Science Program Manager with Clean Air NC, Daisha Wall, says the tool was also developed with the community, including community scientists known as AirKeepers.
An AirKeeper is a community member organization institution that partners with Clean Air NC to host an air quality sensor at their home or business or school or other location. And by doing so, they contribute to a growing network of local air monitors that help track pollution in real time and make invisible environmental threats visible.
Wall says the network centers on the lived experience of North Carolinians. The dashboard also has an environmental justice focus and includes demographic data such as income and race alongside pollutant exposure. I'm Eric Tegedoff reporting.
And women college graduates are not sticking to traditional compatibility traits when choosing a husband, according to one study.
American Institute for Boys and Men data say female college graduates have difficulty finding equally educated partners. University of Indianapolis sociology professor Amanda Miller says historically, college-educated women married within the same circles. Instead of foregoing marriage entirely, Miller explains, more are deciding on exogamy, marrying outside their social group.
They're dipping down into a group of men who do not have a college education, but who do make a good living. Financially. College-educated women, if they can't find a man who has a degree, they're marrying, for example, someone who's a general contractor and has his own business, or a union pipefitter who makes a really good living.
The study found that marriage rates for college-educated women remain stable even as their primary partners, college-educated men, become scarce. I'm Terry D. reporting.
Finally, California's Habitat Conservation Fund escaped the budget acts for the past 2 years, but this week, the state senate is considering a bill to extend it through 2035.
The money goes to buy land to establish wildlife corridors and keep habitat pristine. Beth Pratt with the National Wildlife Federation says the fund benefits species all across the state.
Whether you're a humpback whale in the Pacific Ocean, a monarch butterfly overwintering on California's coast, a Chinook salmon spawning in the Sacramento River, or mountain lions roaming in LA's Santa Monica Mountains, this fund is critical to ensuring that wildlife have a future in California.
In 1990, voters approved Proposition 117, which established the Habitat Conservation Fund and allocated $30 million per year. I'm Suzanne Potter.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.